Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We're on a quick schedule this morning, so we completed the business of the prior committee, and so we'll move directly into the agenda for the Finance Committee this morning. Do we have enough people here? I believe so. Yes. We don't have a quorum? Ah. Could you see if you can... See if you can find Mr. Price.
He's on the committee.
Well, we need somebody from. We need at least a DC member. We do have Maryland members. We do have federal members, and we do have a contingent from Virginia. Late for.
We're gonna get Tom is here. Hey,
okay, Tom
here.
Where are we? Tom is here. Okay. All right. Okay. Good morning. We have two action items on today's agenda for the Finance Committee, both of which will advance Metro's FY 2017 budget as recommended by the General Manager. First, the Chief Finance Officer, Dennis Nasoki, will provide the committee with details on the proposed one-year extension of the Capital Funding Agreement, or CFA. The committee and the board will consider and act on the details of the FY 2017 capital budget next month at our April meeting. Next, the committee will consider Metro's 2017 operating budget for approval, along with the public outreach staff report. This year's budget maintains service levels and fares at current levels, no fare increase, while providing new options for customers, including new pass options and the 15-minute entry-exit grace period. There would also be no increase in subsidies provided by the jurisdictional stakeholders. I would like to commend the General Manager, Mr. Anasaki, and his team for providing the board with options to consider throughout the budget development process. As Chair, I would also just want to note that this FY 2017 budget reflects a transitional year for WMATA. Next year, when we take up the 2018 budget, we will have to confront the structural deficit with costs growing at 5 to 6% per year, while revenues are projected to grow at just 1 or 2%. We put off dealing with this structural deficit this year to give the General Manager time to study these interrelated financial and operating issues and propose a way forward. And by increasing our use of federal grant funding for preventive maintenance for FY17 up to $95 million to support certain eligible expenses that would otherwise be funded in the annual operating budget. Now, as I turn to Mr. Anasaki, we will take up first the CFA amendment and vote on that, and then we will take up consideration of the FY 2017 operating budget and vote on that as well. So, Mr. Anasaki or Mr. Webster, please go forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Dennis. This morning, staff is recommending committee approval of a resolution to authorize the General Manager to execute a one-year extension of the current capital funding agreement among WMATA and the funding jurisdictions. CFA is a legal agreement among Metro and the funding jurisdictions, the District of Columbia, the State of Maryland, and the jurisdictions in Northern Virginia. The agreement formalizes the commitment of the jurisdictions to fund Metro's capital improvement program. Specifically, it confirms the jurisdictional commitment to provide matching funds for Metro's federal grants and to provide local additional investment called system performance funding. The agreement establishes the processes for issuance of both short and long-term debt, and it establishes the structure, the administrative structure and requirements for the expenditure-based capital improvement program. Current agreement expires at the end of this fiscal year, so the agreement must be extended or renewed by all parties no later than June 30th to allow Metro's capital program to continue without interruption. Earlier this year, the parties agreed that the existing agreement should be extended for 1 year through FY17, basically in order to give the general manager, the board, and the region time to evaluate the current capital program and capital investment needs and projects and priorities over the next 6 years. The structure and key terms of the agreement will remain the same. The only change is the end date of the term of the agreement. Since the capital budget was proposed in December, the general manager and staff have taken a hard look at project schedules and forecasts for FY17. The expense forecast and funding requirements for FY17 have been revised down from the $1.1 billion that was proposed or estimated in December to a more achievable $900 to $950 million. The updated forecast resulted in a reduction of the planned long-term debt for FY17 from about $287 million to about $58 million. Staff will return to the committee with the details of the FY17 updated budget in next month for the April Finance Committee. Following the execution of this one-year extension, Metro and the jurisdictions will resume negotiations of a renewed six-year agreement or a new six-year agreement. Metro has already begun working on a new capital needs inventory, asset condition assessments, that will form the basis for the next CFA and the next six-year CIP. That effort's expected to be completed early next calendar year. So our recommendation is that the committee approve the resolution to authorize the general manager to execute the one-year extension of the current capital funding agreement as well as the companion local funding agreement with the District of Columbia. And again, following the board's action, the governing bodies of the local jurisdictions will be asked to approve the amendment to the agreement as well, with the hope that each party executes by June 30th to avoid interruption in the program. And staff will be back next month with the details of the capital program. Thank you.
All right. Either Mr. Anasaki or Mr. Webster, one question, then we'll open it up to other questions, and then we'll entertain a motion for a vote. There's a slide. The extension will reflect achievable capital budget for FY 2017. And in the second bullet, you indicate that the original $1.1 billion proposed program for FY17 capital program is reset between $900 million and $950. Could you just explain the difference between the $900 and $950 million? Is it still being reviewed internally by general manager staff, or does $900 million reflect one thing and the $950 million reflect something else?
So the main difference between the $1.1 billion and the $950 million is the result of looking at project schedules and setting achievable expenditure targets for next year. So the program itself, the projects in the program are largely the same. It is revised estimates for how much will be expended next fiscal year. The difference between the $900 million and $950 million estimates is related to expectations for rail cars. The original proposed budget assumed that approximately 12 rail cars a month would be delivered in FY16. We are looking at the cost estimate for a 12-car delivery versus a 9-car delivery, and that makes up the difference between the $950 million. Our expectation is that $950 million is potentially achievable now, but we will be returning to the JCC next week and then to the board or to the committee in April with the details of that.
And am I correct that if you went to the $950 million, if the program for FY17 ended up at the $950 million, that would not require any increase contribution from the financing jurisdictions. Is that correct?
Correct. The amendment that is attached to the or the attachment to the amendment to the CFA spells out the required funding from the jurisdictions and the planned long-term debt. Is our expectation that The difference between 950 and 900 could be bridged in FY 15 with no additional immediate contributions from the jurisdiction.
Thank you. We'll take that up in greater detail next month. Other questions from members of the committee? Mr. Bulger?
The report, I wanted to ask sort of a question, and maybe Jim can help us. Is it that we're, next time we do the CFA, Loudoun County is going to be at the table. How does that work? Do we send them a letter and ask them to get to a meeting, or is that already started, or how does it work?
So that process actually began in calendar 2014. They've been participating in discussions about the agreement renewal, the terms of the agreement, and getting familiar with Metro's overall capital program as part of that process. So, again, they've been participating all along here, and as we kickstart the negotiations again for the six-year program, they'll be involved in that process.
And Thomas, I can add also, the Northern Virginia Transportation Commission is a meeting of all the jurisdictions in Northern Virginia, which really helps with the management of our team and the funding, and Loudoun is a very active participant on NVTC. So they are, while not sitting here at the table, they are very involved in the conversations with transportation in Northern Virginia.
Thanks. And Mr. Chair, just to put a finer point on that, I'm actually chair of the governance committee for NVTC, and we are working with Loudoun on a whole host of issues to ease that transition as best we can.
So, and actually just increase their number of seats on NVTC.
Right.
Thank you. Appreciate the contribution from the various members of the Virginia delegation, filling in all the cracks here, as well as dotting the I's and crossing the T's. Mr. Downey.
Yeah, question on the interim CFA. The CFA in its current and six-year life has been largely expenditure-based. And I assume the 1 year is the expenditures that would occur. However, in the current plan, if we initiate a contract, the jurisdictions are committed to pay out over the life of that contract. And I just wonder if that will also be part of the 1 year extension.
Thank you, Mr. Downey. The underlying terms of the agreement have not changed. The jurisdictional commitment subject to appropriation continues projects that are started during the term of the agreement. Yes.
So even if we were late putting the next six-year plan in place, they have an obligation to pay up on things that are ongoing.
Correct.
Subject to appropriations.
Subject to appropriations.
Mr. Chair, just one other. Mr. Webster, so over the next year, if this is approved today, what are your milestones? Is there a timeline in which you'd like to see, major strides made? Have the jurisdictions agreed to certain touch points along the way, or how is that going to move forward?
There's a few things that we're doing. One is we've committed to a capital needs inventory, because that's one of the things we've heard from all the jurisdictions that basically outlines, the universe of projects we want. We're also revising the entire capital programming process. It was part of the rollout of the new structure that we put in place. That was also in response to some of the things that I saw, and that also the jurisdiction wanted. They wanted, what's the clear process of how we're doing projects. So I think based on that, as they see that, as we report out quarterly where we're on the capital budget, that they'll see that, and that'll be sort of the negotiations to get into the next longer-term agreement.
Thank you.
Mr. Downing, a further question?
Again, with respect to the needs inventory, but also note that the federal requirements for a transit asset management plan will be kicking in during this time period, and will be very much driven by what's required in the way of state of good repair and other factors. So hopefully that will also feed into the process.
All right. Sort of thing.
If I heard correctly, and I'm troubled by this, you said that part of the reduction was a reduction in delivery of rail cars from 12 down to 9. Is that what is the we just went through a conversation about a reduction in customer satisfaction largely driven by rail. Can you speak to that for me, please?
I can. Again, the issue there is not accepting cars until, you know, they're at the state we want. And so we're just watching it very tightly. So it's sort of giving us the range of what we see. Last month, we did get 12 cars delivered. We're on track to get 12 cars this month, but just given the track record we have with this, I don't want to build a program if I'm not comfortable that we're going to be hitting those numbers. So as the next month or two, we'll get a better feel for that, and by next month, we'll have a little bit stronger feel for that, so we'll come back to you with what that number is, but that's why we're just giving you that range right now, because there's certain projects in the program that are very lumpy, and, you know, if they don't hit, then it can drop those numbers very quickly, and that's one of the big ones, and obviously the bus purchases is another big one. So very good signs coming from Kawasaki in terms of its delivery. Last month was very good, but let's get a few of these in a row, and then I'll feel much more comfortable committing to that.
Thank you. All right. Seeing no further questions, I'll entertain a motion from a member of the committee. Okay. Is there a second? All right. So this is a resolution to authorize the general manager to execute the amendment to the capital funding agreement, the one-year agreement with the other jurisdictions when they are ready to execute. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None? The motion carries. Mr. General Manager, you're authorized, pending action by the board in 2 weeks, to move forward on the capital funding agreement. Okay, we'll move on to the other matter on the agenda. This is consideration by the committee and the board this month of the FY17 operating budget. Mr. Inoseki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Excuse me. My colleague, Lynn Bossett, and myself will present this agenda item, Mr. Chairman. And as you recall, last fall, staff presented the GM's FY17 operating budget proposal, a proposal that was premised on three goals: enhancing system safety, improving service reliability, and ensuring fiscal accountability. The budget also reflected three commitments, which you see on the right, top right-hand quadrant: no service reduction, no fare increase, and no increase in jurisdictional subsidy in FY17. As part of the budget process, Metro engaged stakeholders across the region using multiple channels, including a public hearing which this board authorized back in January. I will now turn to Len to discuss Metro's outreach efforts and the feedback from customers.
Thank you, Mr. Anasike. Mr. Chairman, board members, I want to thank you all for your participation in the public outreach portion of our vetting of the budget this year. We had many board members who participated in station events.
Excuse me, is your mic on?
It is.
Okay.
I'll talk more directly into it and project a little bit more. Many of the board members participated in
We'll make you a presidential candidate.
Thank you. Many of you participated in station events and attended the public hearing, and that was noted and appreciated by our customers, so I thank you. We, of course, sought feedback from the public on the 2017 budget in both the operating budget and the capital program. With no fare increases or service reductions under consideration, the main issue of focus for our customers included the possible elimination of smart trip loading on Metro bus, a 15-minute grace period for exit and entry at the same station on rail, and new pass products. The proposed CIP to the customers focused on safety improvements, the rebuilding of the metro system, and improving the effectiveness of the current rail and bus network. The program is funded, of course, through federal, state, and local governments, as well as other sources. We talked to our customers about these matters at pop-up events at multiple stations. We had direct email to about 6,000 customers. We reached out to the community-based organizations. There are about 200 of them who are part of our public participation planning effort. We targeted marketing through the media in the district and throughout the region, and of course we held the public hearing here at JGB. At the pop-up events, nearly 370 surveys were completed by our customers on site, and we distributed more than 2,300 postcards. We had the events at the stations as well as at bus stops at those locations to try to solicit the greatest range of feedback possible from our riders. here at the WMATA headquarters. We had on February 22nd 37 people attend and 17 people speak on the issues. Most of the comments that we heard related to the operating budget. We also collected feedback through paper surveys in English and Spanish, online surveys, which were available in multiple languages, seven to be precise. We accepted written testimony and testimony submitted by email, and of course created a public record of comments at the hearing. Altogether, the input was achieved in terms of reaching about 2,500 customers. With their feedback, I will tell you that by far, the number one area for comment from our customers was with respect to onboard loading of smart trip cars on buses. And that comment was largely in opposition to that proposal. The customers told us clearly that were there a convenient alternative proximate to the bus stop for them to do that, they would elect to do so. They understand the benefits of faster boarding and on-time performance for the buses, but unfortunately they don't see that option present in the market today, and particularly for young riders, for riders with disabilities, for low-income folks. Often they indicated that the available retail outlets were blocks or sometimes miles from where they needed to catch the bus, and that if they weren't frequent rail riders, they didn't have a really viable alternative for that. So they really did ask for reconsideration on that matter. Rail grace period, however, came in as the most favorable item that we proposed, I'm going to turn it back over to Dennis at this point to talk about where we ended up with respect to the staff recommendation going forward to the board on these matters based on the input from the customers.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. Based on the feedback that Lynn described, the general manager's final budget proposal to the board includes the 15-minute grace period. It includes the university pass as well as the combination rail bus passes. However, the combination pass will be coordinated with a staff recommendation that will be coming to the board with respect to Metro Select Pass later this summer. And that will be part of the GM's fare simplification initiative. Finally, the budget, as Lynn indicated, allows customers to continue to reload their smart trip cards on Metro Bus, while Metro looks for other ways to increase bus speed and specifically for ways to expand off-bus loading for bus customers. Now, to meet the $22 million of cost reduction which was proposed in December, while maintaining the operating subsidy from the jurisdiction at $845 million, the updated budget includes $10 million of additional revenues and $12 million of expense reductions. With respect to revenues, the estimate here includes $2.5 million of additional revenue coming from higher utilization of the district's Kids Ride Free program. The remaining $7.5 million is from higher ridership and revenues from the increased federal transit subsidy. As you may recall, Metro previously estimated that loss cost Metro 2% of its ridership, or $50 million on an annual basis. Given the system challenges that we're facing today, we are projecting that we will recover half of that, which is the $7.5 million. On the cost side, the $12 million of cost reductions come from three specific categories. The first one is $4.5 million of reduced energy cost, specifically from diesel. There's $6 million of savings expected from a Metro-led public-private partnership with rideshare companies to provide paratransit, a portion of our paratransit service, and $1.5 million of additional headcount reductions for next year. So when you put all those changes together, The updated FY17 budget summary shows revenues at $900 million, which is 4% down year over year. Expenses, on the other hand, is $1.7 billion. Again, this is lower than FY16, but as we've discussed in the past, this reflects the use of FTA grants, as the chairman mentioned, $95 million, but it actually is $61 million when you count in the previous $31 million that's been part of the historic budget for eligible preventive maintenance expenses, which is paid through the capital budget, leaving net jurisdictional subsidy then at the $845 million, which we committed to the jurisdiction. Overall, the operating budget commitments by jurisdictions and mode is presented on this slide. The $866 million total subsidy in the blue shaded column represents the $845 million that we just discussed, which is the operating subsidy that go directly to Metro Bus, Metro Rail, and Metro Access, plus the $21 million in committed debt service associated with Metro's 2009 bonds. While the total subsidy remains flat, individual jurisdictions will see a nominal adjustment as a result of the inputs that go into the calculation, but these numbers have been fully vetted with the jurisdictions. Finally, while the FY17 budget achieves Metro's short-term commitments to keep fares, service levels, and operating subsidy unchanged, the long-term fiscal outlook remains daunting, requiring, as the GM pointed out, is there fundamental adjustments to costs, revenues, and operating subsidy. With that, staff recommends committee approval of the public outreach report on the budget and approval of the updated FY17 operating budget. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my presentation, and we will be glad to respond to questions.
Thank you, Mr. Hasaki. I have a question, and then we'll open the floor to some other questions. I know Mr. Bulger has a question or two. On the slide that shows the progression from the FY16 approved budget through the change, I think it's two further back. One more. There we go. We see a total reduction of expenses from this fiscal year, 2016 to 2017, at 2%, and it looks like it's about $40 million, roughly, that expenses will decline over this period. But the chart only shows 12 million of those cost efficiencies relating to the change in the Metro Access delivery as well as the diesel fuel. So that's about 28 million, and that still isn't really described. So my question is that 28 million reflective of the reduction in headcount and personnel costs, or are there some other cost reductions in the budget from this fiscal year to the next 2017 fiscal year that you haven't shown by bullet in the slides?
No, I believe your question goes to the fundamental difference between FY16 and FY17,
yeah,
and I will respond that part of what you're seeing there is the shift that's being captured through preventive maintenance costs in the capital program.
Okay.
Obviously, we have identified the additional headcount reductions of $1.5 million, mm-hmm. and the GM is looking at additional options going into FY17. But no, the most significant part of that reduction is the preventive maintenance shift that have occurred in FY17.
Thank you. Mr. Bulger.
Thank you. My favorite subject, the transit benefit. We had an estimate of a $15 million revenue boost back in December. That's been reduced to $7.5 million in additional revenue as we sit here today. So, Mr. Chairman, let me try to phrase my sort of a strategic question here. Should we spend some more money in this operating budget to get the $15 million? like marketing money, advertising money, door-knocking on major corporations, major employers, work with the District of Columbia that has a ordinance that says if you have 25 or more employees, you must offer the benefit to your employees that kicked in January. I'd like to get the 15 done by spending maybe a little bit of money. So, what do you think?
Sure. So I appreciate the question. Just to put this in a little bit of a different context, Mr. Bulger, we are on track to increase smart benefits revenue this fiscal year from the $319 million it generated last year to $340 million this year. So that's 21. So in terms of the smart benefits program, we have an aggressive target. We are working with 4,000 D.C. small, medium, and large employers to enroll based on the new compliance requirement, as well as launching the new media campaign that you see over my head that's an early draft. And there's a version for federal workers that launches March 21st. You'll see this on the outside of buses. You'll see it in our system. You'll see it in the Washington Post. You'll see it and you'll hear about it on WTOP. So this is coming out here in this quarter. Of course, as you know, there was a little lag in February and March in terms of getting some of those TAP adjustments done for federal agencies. So we timed this so that it would be optimal for customers and employers to implement the cap increase to 255. So I think that that will help us stay on track to achieving the $21 million. We can absolutely do more and should do more going into the coming fiscal year now to drive further the participation levels. We have about 3,500 regional employers, as you know, everybody from on the federal side, the Department of Defense, to on the private side, GEICO and Raytheon, and all of the major employers enrolled in the program. I think we need to, and we have another 1,000 employers on the Silver Line that we're marketing to this year, and just in the next 2 months, I'm partnering with the jurisdictions on more than a dozen seminars out at those employers. So I do see a progressive grassroots strategy. I think we can do more going into the coming year to activate the customer base, and look forward to working with you on that.
Well, Lynn, thank you for giving the committee some more information on this. I think it's there for the taking, I think. It's just educating employers that they actually get a savings if they do pre-tax because they don't pay the FICA tax.
Mr. Chairman, if I may just add one other comment. Yes, we will aggressively, you know, we want to get that number up. But what you're seeing there is a reflection of a little bit different management strategy is let's be conservative, let's not overestimate, let's not, you know, say things that, you know, unless we're very tight, I don't want to be projecting things that we can't deliver. So that's why you see that number. If we over-deliver, that's fantastic, and we should be pushing to over-deliver. But I don't want to present a budget that does not reflect, you know, a conservative way of thinking to make sure we undo some of maybe some of the things we've done in the past.
Thank you.
Mr. Snedberg.
Thank you. You've highlighted diesel fuel here as savings since December. I'm curious, is that a one-time thing, or do you buy fuel as needed, or do you go into long-term sort of future contracts when it comes to fuel?
With respect to fuel, we do both. We do lock in rates for the year, but we also, in order to manage the downside, we also allow for some level of floating, given, obviously, market volatility. Typically, we have hedged about 50 to 60% of our product, and we expect to do so going in. What you're seeing here is a reflection of where the market is at, mm-hmm. at the present time and where we expect to be able to lock in for the portion of the utilization that we expect to hedge.
But it's only for a year.
Correct.
You can't go beyond that or choose not to go beyond
that. We can suddenly go beyond that, yeah. But obviously we try to not aim too high in order to not to lock in unnecessary losses.
But it's pretty low right now.
It's pretty right, yeah. And we expect if we knew where the market would be, you know, 24 months from now, we would certainly lock it in. You know, yeah. We expect to lock in 75% of the market for FY17. Okay. So for FY17, there will be budget certainty with respect to diesel fuel.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Ms. Tarza?
Yes. Could you speak to some of the assumptions with the D.C. School travel subsidy? Because there's a statutory cap on the rail program, and anticipate that that cap may be extended and potentially lowered. So can you just help me understand the $2.5 million that you referenced?
So when the budget was developed in FY16, and obviously as we were going through FY17, we were still observing the utilization with respect to the DC Kids Ride Free program. Based on conversations, and I think your team has been part of some of the conversation, we knew what the original costs were, and frankly, that's what the budget was developed based on. Obviously, as the experiences have been and the agreement that we have with the DC in terms of how the revenues are calculated, that calculation will lead to this additional revenue, $2.5 million revenue. It's simply based on projection, current projection, with no expectation of additional ridership increases. Now, as you may know, we owe reports to this board at the end of this month that will describe this program in much more detail in terms of what cost as well as experiences, but the $2.5 million represents what we are getting now based on the agreement that we have with the district. It does not capture fully what we're seeing in terms of how the students, or some of the students, rather, are using the system. But it represents just the what we expect to get and what some of the district folks already know in terms of utilization based on registered kids that are registered and the way those cards are being used in the system. I don't know if that answers your question.
Partially. I mean, I assume...
So
I assume that you underestimated to a certain extent the revenue collection, and the $2.5 million increase reflects the current billing?
Correct.
Okay.
Right. So, as you know, there are two components to the billing. There's the monthly fee and the per ride use. And so if you extrapolate from where we are today, it will lead to that additional $2.5 million now. And that's without going into the additional kids that may not be tapping whilst they use the rail system. But again, as the GM indicated a little bit earlier, we are trying to be conservative in all aspects of the projections. And so the two and a half million additional dollars, I believe it's within the funding that the district has already with respect to FY16.
Okay. Well, we'll work to verify that and be prepared to defend the program going forward with the City Council.
Thank you.
Mr. Augustine?
Thank you for the presentation. I know that we've received this information, but I feel like when we're making this type of decision, we need to actually see the actual results at the same time, meaning like the 15 result that helps us to see what we're looking at that we're deciding on, and then how we're doing against actual for 16 for the portion that's available now. Just to help for us to understand how we've done against the budget in the past, including putting that up there to show some of why we're making the sorts of decisions that you're making. It would just be, I think, would be helpful for us. And as I said, I know we've received a lot of that information, but when we're here to make that decision, I think it would be very helpful if we had that.
I think Mr. Augustine's suggestion is a very good one. And so as you prepare the slides for the board meeting at the end of the month, if you could add into that slide that has the four columns, a column that shows in the beginning FY7, FY15, FY16 to date is really what Mr. Augustine is looking at. How are we doing in the current fiscal year? You know, are we going to have a surplus? Are we going to have a deficit? Are we on target? and then move on to the FY17. I think that would be tremendously helpful.
Oh, we will certainly do so.
Thank you. Mr. Downing.
Yes. We have some interesting initiatives in the budget. The PASS program, the UPASS, and the grace period. Do you have plans for closely monitoring? I support all those, so that we will be monitoring the results on a real-time basis.
That's correct. As the GM has indicated, there is a clear and transparent timeline for the development of all of those initiatives. And we will, as with the Kids Ride Free program, we will be providing him and this board progress reports on how those initiatives are being implemented and the results that we are seeing.
Thank you. I'm reminded by the words corporate secretary in response to Mr. Augustine's suggestion that there are no actual slides in the board presentation. So if you could provide that slide in material to the board prior to the meeting on the 24th, that would be greatly appreciated.
We will do so.
Thank you. And provided to the, I assume that will be provided to the public as well and media so that they can understand that sequence as well. Any other questions? I have a final question before we proceed. On the slide, which is entitled Long-Term Trends, where you show the structural deficit, someone just flashed that up. It's a slide that goes long-term trends remain unchanged. That's it. Just understand this clearly. For the current fiscal year that we're dealing with, FY17, the difference between the structural deficit and the revenue, that gap, is the $845 million made up by the jurisdictional subsidies. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So if we move forward a couple of years, say FY20, just to give members of the committee and the board and the public a sense of what problems and what issues we really have to deal with in the future. If we looked at, say, FY2020, by eyeballing it, it looks like the expenses would be about $2 billion. The revenue, somewhere in the range of current $950 million. So we would have a structural deficit of about $1 billion.
That's correct.
And we would subtract to that, if we wanted to keep the current jurisdictional subsidy levels as they are, the 845. So we would have at that point a gap of about $150 million. Is that correct?
That's correct. All things being equal.
All things being equal. And so that $150 million is the sort of challenge that we'll face, something less to that, something greater, over the next 4 or 5 years as this committee and the full board deals with the operating budget for the authority. And, of course, that could be covered by revenue increases, fare increases. It could be covered by increased jurisdictional subsidies. It could be covered by a reduction in costs and reduction in service. So we have a number of options to choose from, but we do have a big problem in front of us to confront over the next few years. Thank you. All right. Mr. Downey.
Yes, one further question on this slide. The reference to biennial fare adjustments, that is reflected in the revenue line?
Yes.
So that revenue line assumes cost of living type adjustments over the period. So everything else is either larger fare increases, larger contributions, or reduced expenses.
I mean, placing it another way, to the extent the board wanted to continue the policy of maintaining fares at the current level, the structural deficit would be even greater
be even larger,
than shown in that slide. Thank you. Mr. Mulcher.
Okay. Good exchange there. I just wanted to go back to this withdrawing the smart trip loading proposal. Okay, so I understand, as Lynn pointed out, the reasons why we're not going to do that. All right, so the question I have does the budget include expenses to put more of these devices or whatever they're called around the region? Either in drugstores, supermarkets, or whatever? Or how are we handling off places, more places to load the smart trip?
There's adequate resources right now to add those reload machines around the jurisdictions. The challenge has been finding willing partners to do so.
Right.
So what we expect to do, and which we started doing already, and over the last few months we've added 6 additional partners, is to increase that effort and therefore provide additional opportunities for our customers to continue to reload.
Can we get Giant? We're letting Giant deliver groceries now. Can't we get the Giant supermarkets to put these machines in?
They are already
a partner
of Metro's.
Yes, let's be fair, Giant and Safeway, right?
It's a location. What do you think? It's more of a location, which is the problem.
All right. Any other questions? I think this has been a healthy discussion. Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the public hearing staff report and the FY 2017 operating budget as updated by the general manager's report today.
So moved.
Second? All in favor of approving the FY 17 budget and the public hearing staff report, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It is approved. Thank you very much. Any other business before the Finance Committee this morning? Seeing none, thank you very much. Meeting's adjourned.
I'll check.
There's a very good article.
Yeah, fortunately, where our libraries are.
I did. All set. What do you think from Bethesda about a half an hour?
I mean, busted. Yeah. Busted, yeah. But not near.
Right.
Ideally, though, I think what we'd like to do
is
get the employers to put it right around, get like a meeting floor.
I got my 3-year-old friend.